Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. All right, let's do that again. How's everybody doing? Good. How's Austin P doing? That's all right. We'll give you a chance to redeem yourself. My name is Richard, and I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. It's so good to be here with you guys. There's a lot of good news going on here at Bethel Community Church. Pastor Lance has told us about six kids giving their life to Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? That didn't just happen by accident. That is huge. In the crazy world that we live in, that is some good news. Also, I wanted to let you know, yesterday, we baptized three ladies from our church. Water baptized, I'm going to show you those. These are three women who publicly declared that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38, it says, Peter said to them, those that had just heard the gospel, he said, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's good news. So let's give the Lord a big hand. People getting water baptized. Last Sunday, I was not here. I was actually on a road trip with five other men. We went to Birmingham, Alabama, the great state of Birmingham, or great state of Alabama. Roll Tide, right? And no tide. Yeah, well, we went down there anyway. And we went for the launch of our church plant, High Point, Birmingham. It was an amazing day. They had a great turnout. Pastor David and his wife, Rachel, and their team are doing a great job. And so we went down there to bless them and to be with them and encourage them as the first official service of our new church plant took place. And meanwhile, back in Clarksville, we started a new series of messages last week called the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys may be familiar with the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be finding out for the very first time about the Holy Spirit. Over the course of this month, we're going to be unfolding who the Holy Spirit is, how we can have a relationship for Him, and what does He want to do in our lives. Last week, Pastor Lance, he taught us about how the Holy Spirit is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one, says in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit came after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he taught us about the Holy Spirit is a person. He has personhood. That means he has a personality. It means that we can grieve him or we can please him. I want to please him. Anybody else want to please the Holy Spirit? And we're going to talk about that today as we dive deeper into our study of the Holy Spirit. Another cool thing that also is happening with this series are our community groups are also going along with this series called the Holy Spirit. So what we talk about on Sunday morning, we have notes for you in your groups, and we expound upon what we talk about on Sunday morning in our group. So that's going to be a great thing to do. And if you are not a part of a community group, you can actually sign up on our website at bethelcommunity.church. You can also sign up on our Facebook page. And that would be a great, great, great asset to you as we study the Holy Spirit. And as we do this, one of the things to pay attention to is that Jesus, before he left and ascended into heaven, he told his early disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you guys hate to wait? I don't like waiting at all. And the thing that makes this so frustrating is Jesus didn't tell them how long to wait, and he didn't tell them what to really expect when the waiting was over. He just says, wait on the promise. And he says this in Acts chapter 1. I've got a lot of scripture for you, so if you're taking notes, this would be a great thing to do. If you've got a phone, you can take a note on that. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. It says, and being assembled together with them, this is what Jesus was about to tell them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we know that they were asked to wait. Now we have the beauty of looking back. We don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit anymore. He's already come. We also know, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we will receive power. Everybody say power. we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. Now, we're going to discuss that next week, but today we're going to talk about an aspect of the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Holy Spirit that some of you probably have never heard of or accessed, and how the Holy Spirit is so near and dear to us, He can be very intimate with us in getting to know us and us to know Him. And we're going to break open this scripture in John chapter 15, verse 26. This verse is going to be in the New International Version because I love the way it uses the word. And it says, when the advocate, if you have a book Bible or maybe even a digital version of the Bible, you might want to make a note about this. This word advocate, Pastor Lance said this last week, it's this word parakletos. In other versions of the Bible, it says the helper. It says the comforter. How many of you guys need comforted sometimes? He's also called the counselor. And in this version, he's called the advocate. It says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Jesus says, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify of me. Now, we're going to take a very good look at this word, the advocate, the counselor, the helper, the comforter, because we need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's advantageous to us. It's necessary for us to live the life that God has called us to live. Now, if you've got a book called a concordance, some of you may have a Bible, a study Bible. In the back of it, it has a long list of words and their definitions. If you don't have one of these, you need to get one of these into your library at home. A concordance is basically a list of words in the New Testament and the Old Testament, and it tells us what they mean in the original language. And when you look at that word, the advocate, in the Greek it's parakletos, it says one who pleads the cause before a judge for another. It's like a pleader, a counselor for the defense, a legal assistant. Another word it uses there is like an intercessor, a person who intervenes on behalf of another. Literally, someone who stands in the gap when you can't defend yourself. This is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Anybody like that? Say amen. Another idea it says in the concordance is it's kind of like Jesus in His exalted state at the right hand of God the Father, pleading to the Father for the pardoning of our sins because of His shed blood. We need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, you may have grown up not really hearing about the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was a different church setting than one like this. Maybe you grew up Catholic and it may have been different. Maybe you grew up in an atheist home, or you just didn't have spiritual discussions at home. And now we're introducing the concept of not just that there is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, but that you can have a deep, intimate relationship with Him. The word is very clear in the Bible. It says, not only will He be with you, we'll show you in great detail in a second, but He will be in you, in you. And in essence, the Holy Spirit is our defense attorney. He is our defense attorney, and we need to have a relationship with Him. Many of you guys, anybody guys in here like television, watch a lot of TV? Some of you don't want to raise your hand for that in church. You look like idolatry. Well, I like television. I love those judge shows, judge movies, courtroom dramas. There's one on television called Suits. Back in the day, there was one called Law and Order. Anybody remember that? It was on TV for like 20 years. And way back in the day, one of my favorites was Perry Mason. Anybody remember Mason? Come on, Perry Mason on MeTV. And I love the old courtroom drama movies, To Kill a Mockingbird, 12 Angry Men. One of my favorites, Pastor Lance, is A Time to Kill with Matthew McConaughey. Everybody was sweaty in that movie. The dogs were sweating. Samuel L. Jackson was sweating. Everybody. And then you can't forget A Few Good Men. Remember that? I want the truth. Well, you can't handle the truth. See, these movies set the stage for what a lawyer can do for us or an attorney can do. And we need sometimes a good defense lawyer, don't we? Some of y'all have had a good defense attorney, right? Well, sometimes we all need one. And that's the role, really, that we're going to focus on of the Holy Spirit. Because what a good defensive attorney will do is when we are on trial, he will stand up for us. When we are being accused of something, he's got our back. When we are under attack, and even sometimes when we've actually done the wrong thing, we may actually be guilty. We have somebody on our side. Can somebody say amen to that? And sometimes, I was thinking about this week, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. Sometimes it's not the coworker who gets on your nerves or your boss who gets on your nerves. Sometimes it's not that neighbor who stole your lawnmower, won't give it back. Sometimes, or your pastor, sometimes it's our own thoughts that are our own worst enemy. As a pastor, I have heard so many people downgrade themselves, shame themselves, and reduce themselves to being utterly useless in the hands of an almighty God because they've allowed to entertain their own thoughts that are negative and destructive. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit, when you give your life to Christ and you are born again and the Spirit of God comes in you, he will defend who you are in Christ. And though other people may have called you something, and you may even think bad thoughts about yourself, he will come to your defense. We need a good attorney. You know, we're going to talk about today in a little bit descriptive ways about court procedures. If you've ever seen a court hearing, or maybe you've been in court, they have certain things that they do that are actually going to help us to learn more about the Holy Spirit today. Did you know, matter of fact, before a good attorney will address the judge, or before he's about to make an objection, it's court courtesy for him to stand up before he speaks to the judge. And what's good news about that is when he comes to your defense, it's like he is standing up for you. You know, when we've got a picture of a courtroom scene for you on the screen. And this is Matthew McConaughey in a movie called The Lincoln Lawyer. This is your typical courtroom scene where you have a defendant and you have a defense attorney. They've got the glass of water. And I want you to get this in your mind just for a second as I start to describe this, because the defense attorney, not only will he stand up on your behalf, but there's certain things that he will say and that he will do to protect you. And we've got three of those I'm going to look at. He has the power to make objections when there are attacks on you and your character in your testimony. And he will help you to remember what Christ says about you, even when the world says something different about you. For example, a real attorney, he will stand up for you when there are false allegations. He will make an objection when there's lies and hearsay, gossip and speculation. Anybody ever been the victim of gossip before? Well, that's why we need a good defense attorney. When there's threats against you, when someone tries to trip you up and make you stumble, when there is confusion that is, and you're the center of it, if you have given your life to Christ, you have an advocate now who will stand in the gap for you. Let's look at John chapter 14. This is in the New International Version. John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So when this world begins to attack your name, when it begins to attack your past, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, will remind you of everything that he has said. When you feel like you are stuck and you don't know what to do, or maybe you're a person who feels like you don't know the Word of God, it's no excuse not to read it, but the Holy Spirit will remind you of what the Word of God says. The second thing he does is he will help you with your testimony. See, a lot of times, especially when we're just learning how to follow Jesus, there can be things that we do or things that are done to us to feel like it has torn apart our relationship with Jesus. But the Holy Spirit helps us. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 16, it says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." This is so valuable and so important. There are so many times when we can feel like God doesn't love us anymore. We've gone too far. We've made a mistake. Our marriage or our life is in destruction. How can God love me? And maybe you've given your life to Christ, but life is so out of whack. It just seems like God is a million miles away. Well, our advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom we can have a truly intimate relationship with, reminds us that we are children of God. Can somebody say amen? Sometimes I need to be reminded that my Heavenly Father loves me and that I am a child of God by faith. Because this world wants to throw things at you to make you forget just exactly who you are in Christ. Can somebody say amen? Last one is, he can keep you from making matters worse for yourself. This is my absolutely favorite. Well, we will make a hot mess of life, won't we? I tell you what, if you leave us alone for long enough, we will make a hot mess. Look at husbands in the room, for example. If a wife leaves us alone for too long with the kids, oh no. The house is a mess, we're a mess, everything is dirty. And it's the same thing with the rest of life. When we are left to ourselves, we have bad thoughts, we have bad ideas, we have bad motivations. But when we have and cultivated a relationship with this counselor, and I want you to think about that for a second. Go back to our courtroom drama scene just for a second. If you've ever seen one of these shows, you know how this operates, is that there is constant communication between the defense attorney and the defendant, back and forth, asking each other questions. And this is the type of intimacy that we can have with the Holy Spirit. Remember, part of that name means counselor. And a counselor in your life is the one that knows the most intimate issues about your life. A good attorney will mine out the truth in your life. And so he's somebody that we can trust. There may be people in your life and in your family you can't trust. Maybe they burn bridges. Maybe they've gone too far. But the Holy Spirit is the one that you can lean on. He's the one that you can trust. He's the one that knows you better than anybody else. And so what Christ has done is he left and went to the right hand of God the Father, and he said, wait for the promise, because he will not only be with you, he will be in you. And today, God wants to open our eyes today on how we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And number three was that he can keep us from making matters worse for ourselves. Let's look at John chapter 16, one of my favorite scriptures. John chapter 16, verse 8. It says, when he has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Other versions say, and of judgment to come. Now, this sounds a little scary, to be honest with you, but only a good friend will tell you the truth. Only a good friend will tell you something that you probably did not want to hear, but the Holy Spirit who loves you, who is God inside of you, will tell you when you've gone too far. You may not even know all of the Bible, or maybe you haven't memorized huge chunks of the Bible, and maybe your defense against sin is, I didn't really know what sin was or if this was a sin. Well, the good news is, when the Holy Spirit is with you, he will let you know when you have sinned and gone too far. He will tap you on your shoulder, and you will know without a doubt that you have gone too far. If any of you in here have called yourself a born-again believer, that you've given your life to Jesus Christ, go and try and tell a lie. Because what the Holy Spirit will do is he will begin to tap you on the shoulder, and you'll start to feel a little uncomfortable inside. Like, why did I do that? Tell somebody, call somebody outside their name in traffic as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Some of you have tried it. And you go home, why did I use those words? Why did I do that? Because what happens is the Holy Spirit will let you know that you've gone too far. He will convict the world of sin. Maybe you're asking right now, there's some things or practices that you do. How do I know if God doesn't like it? The Holy Spirit will let you know. Now, there's a danger in here. There's a danger in here. I didn't bring this up in the first service. But just like a good football player who wins the Heisman Trophy, we can stiff arm the Holy Spirit when we continue time and time again to resist Him. See, the great thing about our God is He loves us so much. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for our sin, to forgive us of all of our sin. And then Jesus left and He gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to love us. But even still, He gives us the freedom to choose to obey Him or disobey Him. And even though the Holy Spirit's inside of us, sometimes we can stiff arm Him. And the Holy Spirit might be saying again and again and again, stop it, let it go, don't go there, you've gone too far. You know what happens? It starts to sound like this, la, 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 la. And we begin to play games with God and act like we don't really hear Him or like He's not really talking to us. He's talking to them over there. He wasn't talking to me. And then, you know what? We don't hear Him. Doesn't mean He's not there. It doesn't mean that He doesn't love us, but we quit or we stopped paying attention. It's kind of like the hole in your house. If you got a hole somewhere in your house and you see it, after 6 months, you don't even realize it. And then somebody points it out. Why do you have a hole in your wall? Oh yeah, I forgot it was there. It's the same way when we stiff arm the Holy Spirit, we fail to yield to Him. And this is just a reminder for some of you guys today. He's still speaking to you. He's still there. And you can stiff arm Him, but it will lead you down a road that you do not want to go down. Everybody say amen to that. Because He loves us. And He also convicts us of righteousness. Sometimes we have gone too far. And we want to get in right standing with God again, or we feel like we've lost our standing with God. Well, the Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are in Christ. He convicts us of sin, but He also convicts us of righteousness. You know what? Who we are in Christ is the righteousness of God. And sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we shame, and that's another thing. He convicts us, but He doesn't condemn us. These are two big words that are completely different. He convicts the world of sin, but He does not condemn us. Condemnation is shame. And each and every single one of us are familiar with the way that this operates. It's when you've done something wrong and all you hear in your mind or from other people is, look what you did, look what you did. You've gone too far. Nobody loves you. God hates you. He doesn't love you anymore. Look what, anybody ever heard that voice? Come on. Anybody ever heard that voice before? Yeah, and that's condemnation. That is not from God. And if it's not from God, it must be from the... Gosh, you guys are good, right? God does not condemn us and shame us. He convicts us. He lets us know that He doesn't like it. He lets us know that we should stop it. This is the divine counselor. He is our helper. You know, in your community groups this week, you're going to have part of your notes. If you go to your community group, it says that we can absolutely trust a comforter that we can lean on in our times of distress. How many of you guys want that? You know, for many of us, we have lived a life and we have never known a relationship like this. Maybe some of you have gone to church year after year. Maybe you grew up going there, but you never knew I can have such an intimate relationship with God. Maybe you have heard that those people had a relationship with God, but you never thought it was possible for you. I'm telling you today that you can have a deep relationship with God that is so close. He can be your counselor. He can be your advocate. He can be your comforter. He can be your friend. And today, maybe today is the day where you say, I need that. Maybe people have let you down. Maybe people that you thought were going to be a friend stabbed you in your back. Or maybe, you know what, maybe life is pretty good, but you don't have a friend like that. When I talk to most men will say, yeah, I got a good buddy, right? One friend, and he's halfway across the country, and they talk to him maybe once a year. Well, I'm telling you what, you can have a relationship with God today that shatters and tears apart everything you thought was a friendship, because the Holy Spirit wants to love you, guide you, leads you and leads you to a blessed life. Can somebody say amen? You know, and I was just like that. I wasn't that old. In 2003, I was 25 years old. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was pretty successful. I had a great job working for the state of Tennessee, made back then what I thought was a lot of money, but I was still empty on the inside. And I came to a church service just like this, and I heard about this relationship you could have with God, and it seemed so foreign. It seemed like it wasn't possible. It was for those religious types. It was for those do-gooders. It's for people like Pastor Lance, but not me. Surely not me. And they told me how I can have a relationship with this God, that I needed to trust in Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. And I gave my life to Jesus. I said yes to Jesus Christ. I accepted him as my Lord, my boss, my Savior. And immediately after that, I went to the front. We had these old altar calls, and I went down to the front of this church, and I was snot bubbling and crying. It was a hot mess. And Pastor Brock Lillis, who is still our pastor in Murfreesboro, our Bethel church, he asked me something right immediately after I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He said, "Have you heard about the Holy Spirit?" And it was like he understood something that I didn't know. It was like he knew that in order for me to live the life that God has called me to live, I'm going to need some help. And he said, "Have you heard about the Holy Spirit?" And I'm like, "Not really." And he began to show me scripture, some of the same scripture I'm showing you today. And he said, "Do you want everything that God has for you?" And I said, yes. And you know what? I had tried to do life absent of God. I had tried to live my life absent of his leadership and his guidance and his counsel. And it was not a good scene. And that day I said, yes, I want everything that God has for me. So I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God came to live inside of me. And ever since then, he's begun to speak to me and counsel me and warn me when I'm wrong. He really likes to warn me when I'm wrong. And I tell you what, it is the sweetest relationship in my life. I love my wife. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She's awesome. But it pales in comparison to my relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you today, that is the most amazing relationship on this planet that you can have. When Jesus was, before he left, he said, "The Father will give you a gift." Now, I can tell you something pretty profound. If a billionaire, everybody say billionaire. Okay, repeat after me. Billionaire came in here and said, "I want to give you a gift." You would be fighting each other to get to that gift. You would forget you're in church and you'd be fighting over it. "Well, I need me a gift from a billionaire. Can't stop me, I got babies." I'm gonna tell you, that gift might be pretty amazing, but I wanna tell you what, there's a greater gift. A gift from the King of all kings, a greater gift. It's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that Jesus said, "It's better for me to leave this world." Think about how profound that is as a theological thing. The one our entire faith is built on says, "I must go so that he comes because you need him." If Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is a necessity, I think we should believe that as well. Now, my children think Legos are a necessity. They got the game kind of mixed up. But the Holy Spirit is a necessity in this life for the person who calls himself a follower of Jesus Christ. I just want to pray for you. Let's bow our heads just for a second. Maybe you're here today and you didn't realize that today was going to be a day when you would encounter a holy God. Maybe you did not realize today that although you may have said yes to Jesus, your relationship with him has turned ice cold. You don't know how to hear from him. You didn't know if he would tell you to turn left or turn right. His voice might even seem unrecognizable. I'm telling you today, it can all change. The gift that Jesus promised is in front of us today. The first step that is a prerequisite is that you give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe that's you, and maybe you've played church before. Maybe you went to Bible school or to Sunday school. Maybe one time you clapped your hands in church and you thought, well, I'm all good. But your life has really looked no different since that happened. You still have the same thought patterns that are completely selfish and built around you. But today is a day when you realize I need a relationship that is authentic with God, where I stop playing games with Him and myself. And I say, yes, I need a Savior. I need a Lord, a boss, someone to lead me through the valley, someone to lead me when I am lost. If that's you today, and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you've never done that fully before. Maybe you might be kin to a pastor, or your uncle was in ministry, or maybe you thought everything was good until today and you realize I am not right with the holy God. God is speaking to you today. He's calling you to come to Him. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to love you. If that is you today, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray with you. There are heads that are down. There is eyes that are closed. And today, He is seeking whom He may save. Thank you, sir, for your hands. Thank you today for your hands. Ma'am, sir, thank you today. Today is the day you're giving your life to Jesus. Today is the day you are what the Bible says, born again, born of the Spirit of God coming into your life, your sins being cleansed, the blood of Jesus atoning, forgiving you for your past. The old is gone. The new has come in Jesus' name. Maybe for the rest of you, this relationship with the Holy Spirit has been formed. Maybe you've given your life to Christ. You said, I said yes to Jesus, but I don't know that kind of intimacy. I need a counselor. I need an advocate. I need someone to help me, to remind me of what Christ has told me. And sometimes I forget that I'm a child of God and I need the Holy Spirit. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand today. Many hands being raised up today. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Holy Spirit, I recognize that you are God. Thank you for coming into the world. I ask you to fill me up today. Come and live inside of me. Direct me and guide me. Convict me of sin. Convict me of righteousness and of judgment to come. Today I want to be aware of your voice. Today I want to hear you. Today I stop stiff-arming you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. It's through you I can live a victorious life. The chains of bondage can be broken. You can give me the power to say no to sin. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.